Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. It's a play about hope and mortality, beauty and limitation. Real as Air, a new play by Richard W. Swanson, is based on letters, messages, and memories shared between Richard, his wife Cheryl, and his sister Kathy after Kathy is diagnosed with ALS. You can see it at Augustana University in Sioux Falls, September 21st through the 23rd. And again, September 28th through the 30th. And we're joined now in SDPB's Sioux Falls studio by the playwright, along with Jana Fitzsimmons, who is director of the Augustana production and theater professor at Augie. So, Richard, Jana, thank you so much for being here, first of all.
Thank you for inviting us.
And both Augustana professors, we should say, yes. to be clear. So, Richard, start telling me a little bit about where this play, when did it start becoming something that you thought, this story, this is my life, this is something I need to write about, and then finally this is something, that can be produced?
Well, it started being written when my sister had ALS, because we realized one day when we looked at each other that ever since undergrad, anyhow, I hadn't learned anything that I hadn't learned by arguing with her. And she looked at me one day and said, "What are you going to do when I'm dead?"
Wow.
And so we decided to write our arguments down so that I could benefit from them. This is a remedial project in its roots, and it's a preservation and remembrance project. And she and I imagined that this thing would be a book. And it was that in my imagination for most of the 10 years that since she died. After about 5 years, I could look at it and think about editing it, and was working on it and trying to think it through. And I showed it to Jana and talked it through with her. And one of the gifts that a good friend with sharp eyes gives you is she can see things that I couldn't. And we saw together that this thing was maybe a play. And so we've been working one way and another for two years, almost 3 years, to shape this. We've done workshops, we've worked with students, we've worked with other folk, we've worked at the Kennedy Center Festival with this. And out of all of that comes the piece we'll perform starting Friday.
Jana, take me back to one of those first, the first moments of looking, because for you, you're not picking up, a script that was written by somebody long ago, and it's not just a piece of art by a friend. This is a piece of art that deals with some pretty heavy personal subjects.
Yes. Years ago, when this became kind of a reality and something that we were thinking about, I was first just really taken by how Richard and his wife Cheryl were so trusting with this material. Working on one of Richard's shows, this is the second that I've worked on as a director, is always exciting and terrifying because these scripts don't look like traditional scripts. So essentially, at the very beginning of this process, Richard handed me, essentially unedited, the letters and the messages, and it was a large, large document. It was a very rich text. And so began
Which is one way of saying the play would have been 8 hours long.
Yes, over multiple days. So the nice thing about having the type of working relationship that Richard and I do is that we can look at this and kind of say, all right, what is stageable? What is the potential of this text? The actors that we've worked with over the 2 years that we've been workshopping this have taught us a lot about what is there in terms of what is stageable, what the play is. So we've learned a lot from them. And again, just the trust that's been put into me as a director, into Augustana Theater as a department that develops new work, has been outstanding and overwhelming. To the generosity of Richard and his family has been wonderful.
Are these student actors then from the college, from the university?
Okay. So we have a cast of 9 actors. One of them is a community member who's a professional actor. The other 8 are students.
And how do they sort of respond to that long process of development, of working with, because I'm assuming they worked with Richard, directly and with you. Tell me a little bit about their experience.
Yeah, we've had a number of the students who have been that are in the cast now that have been with us for pretty much the entire development process. Others have, you know, maybe did one workshop or one reading, and so we have the continuity with a few of the cast members. But they've been working on the script that will be performed for about 4 weeks, so to stage it, and I think that it's a really rich process for the actors. It's unlike anything they've ever done because they are truly creating these roles. They're developing the ways that we're going to tell the stories, and they're working with an unconventional performance text, which I think is a wonderful gift for actors to have to experience that. It's a big challenge, but it's also really rewarding.
Right. Richard, tell me about your sister. Let's talk about Kathy.
She was one of the strongest minds that I've ever met, and one of the strongest people I'll ever know. She was always someone who could see to the heart of every issue. She was, in undergrad, a religion and psychology major, but her career, she retired as the director of traffic safety for the state of Minnesota.
Interesting.
Yes, people sometimes said, isn't it a shame you aren't using your degrees? She said, what do you mean? She said, psychology is the study of the stupid things that people do, which she said, that's what she looked at all day long, looking at traffic safety. And religion's the study of how they justify doing stupid things. And she said the study prepared her for the human side of what she was doing. Mm-hmm. But her goal was, my sister believed that the idea that she should do her job so that traffic deaths were reduced, she thought that was a foolish thing. She thought that her job was to bring traffic deaths to zero. And yeah, she didn't ever get there, but she said, if that isn't your goal, all you're doing is tweaking the numbers and having fewer families go through horrible experiences. She said, zero is the only real goal. And she assembled a set of workers that worked with her that believed the same thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so what kind of conversations would you have then? Because, you know, when you talk about her mind, it sounds like you could be describing how she described your mind. You know, so there was definitely a synergy between the two of you. What sorts of conversations did you have?
We talked about what we were learning as we discovered face-to-face how short life is. Mm-hmm. And so we talked, we discovered together that the fact of mortality, the fact that my sister could count the days she would live. With ALS, when she was diagnosed, people lived 2 to 3 years. But that meant she had 700, maybe 900 days. And that meant that when peaches would come ripe in the summer, we would eat them together, knowing this might be the last time we would ever eat peaches together. And so we talked about how knowing that everything in a very real way was or could be the last time intensified the experience. And we wrote back and forth about how impending mortality intensifies joy, intensifies pleasure, intensifies the sense of responsibility. My sister discovered that if indeed you really only will live 600 more days, it's really important that you say to the people that you love them every time, because the chances to do that don't stretch off into the distant future. You can count on, finally, not many fingers, how many times you'll get to say it again.
Yeah. The letters, are they electronic letters, emails back and forth? Are they handwritten letters and cards? How did you correspond?
All of the above.
Okay.
Some things my sister wrote on paper, and some things I wrote on paper. Most of them were sent electronically back and forth because she lived 4 hours away from us in St. Paul.
Sure.
But at the end of her life, we came up and stayed for the last couple of weeks with her. My students told me, of course you should go, and we arranged the classes so that they could continue with me at a distance. But we then were sitting in the same room, and in the last few days, my sister's voice got more and more unreliable because ALS takes the ability to use voluntary muscles. And as she became less and less able to breathe, in the last couple of days, sometimes she could still write more effectively than she could speak. And so we have written in notebooks her very last notes back and forth, because when you have as good an arguing partner as she was, you don't stop just because you're dying day after tomorrow.
So she's sort of grappling with you to the very...
Oh, yeah.
The very lovingly grappling with you to the very end.
And both parts of that description matter, lovingly and grappling.
Sure.
Indeed, when you're related to someone that bright, you should argue hard with them. But it was where our parents raised us to know that grappling is how you show someone you love them.
Right. Tell me a little bit, because I was going to ask you about your parents and what kind of childhood you had. So what's the age difference between the two of you?
My sister was about 2 years younger than I.
Okay. Just the two of you, or are there more siblings?
We had another sister who was a year younger than that, and then I have a sister who is 16 years younger than I.
Wow. Okay.
So there were the three of us when I was a little child, and then the four of us after that.
So you're the oldest.
I am the eldest, yes.
So what, dinner conversations?
My poor mother.
Right.
Both my parents came from families that believed that arguing is the best indoor sport. And so we would talk about things at the supper table that were serious. And if everyone was agreeing, my father would change his opinion so that we had to think, because he had no interest in raising children that agreed with him if they couldn't think.
No.
Both of our parents believed that people have a responsibility to think clearly and well, and to be able to make an accounting of themselves in public for that. So we argued about things. But we also, my dad loved science. He was an ag teacher. So, of course, he was a scientist, but he loved, genetics was one of his favorite things. And so we would get to be, we'd be in the middle of a meal at the supper table, and my mother would have this wonderful feast prepared for us, and my father would think about Gregor Mendel. And then he would say, oh, and then he'd get out the paper napkin from the tray, and he would draw genetic trees to teach us about dominant and recessive traits. I remember him doing that, and I know from the house we were living in, I was 5 years old, when he was stalling the meal to teach me about Gregor Mendel. That's what meals were like at our house.
When you wrote this play, Real as Air, and you get closer and closer to the part where an audience is going to be invited into this space, what are you starting to think about what you want that audience to experience? Because now it's no longer just about Kathy and you and that connection. It is also about the people who will sit here and then get up and leave and take that into the world.
My sister wrote in a piece that ended up in her funeral bulletin, she wrote that this had been a crash course in mortality. She in fact forbade us to call the program a program at the funeral. She said this is a syllabus, because this has been a learning experience. She and I believed that what we were writing would be useful to people who are also mortal, since that's all of us, and people who look ahead and have to cope with the fact that other people's stories will go on without them. Yes, it is. I'm thrilled to have people meet my sister on stage, but honestly, if that were all this is, that would be self-indulgent, and I was not raised to be self-indulgent. This is a piece about how human beings make themselves human, especially because we live a short time.
Yeah.
And that's what I'd love people to think about when they walk out.
Jane, I'm a graduate of Augustana University, and I say that for full disclosure, because this seems like such a quintessentially Augustana production with the thoughtfulness of Richard Swanson and the development over the 2 years. So I hope I'm not advertising for Augie by saying that. But this is sort of what, you know, a liberal arts program, this is what you sort of want to send those kids into the world with, send them into graduate school with as sort of thoughtful actors as well.
Yeah, we really want to give our students and anyone who is a part of our program the opportunity to put their hands on and their minds on all sorts of different kinds of work. And so this is something that I'm really proud of. Our program has really, it really has a strong relationship to developing new work. And we're so lucky that we just happen to have sort of our resident playwright, who we consider kind of an honorary member of our theater department, Richard, who is willing to let us work with his texts. And so that's something that I'm really pleased that we get to do that. This level of collaboration between colleagues in a university is not the norm everywhere. So I think that we're both really lucky to be in the right place at the right time and have gotten to be good friends and get to work together on productions like this.
And outreach for others living with or diagnosed with ALS. Tell me a little bit about that and how it connects with the play Real as Air.
Yeah, so we've been really fortunate to have a really great partnership and the support of our local chapter of the ALS Association. So we've been working with them throughout this process to make sure that we are we're able to do the type of outreach that this type of play really makes necessary. And so one of the things that that we're happy that we get to do is offer kind of post-show conversation opportunities for audiences so that they can come and talk with somebody either, you know, from the production side or someone from the ALS Association side to kind of help kind of continue the conversation after the show is over. We also situated one of the performance weekends over the weekend of the Walk to Defeat ALS that is happening on September 22nd in the morning on Saturday. And so we are going to participate in that. We're really excited to be there with them walking and helping raise awareness and helping raise funds for a cure.
Sure. Richard Swanson, any final thoughts from Kathy? What do you think she would say about this production, maybe?
Two things. The first one is a simple thing. When she and I realized that we were writing something that we thought other people should read, she said, "You better make sure you tell the truth." And that's very important. The connection with people who are living with ALS is crucial, because they will be the people that will be able to look at me and say if I did or did not tell the truth. Mm-hmm. And my sister would want to know that. The other thing is, in the syllabus for her funeral, my sister laid out charges to people who were attending the funeral and charges to anyone who knew her. She said, and this ends up in the show, don't send flowers. Find a cure for ALS. Don't send flowers. Make the world better for children. Huh. Don't send flowers. Plant them and grow them. And that is what she would say. We have responsibilities. It's time that we got on with them.
The play is called Real as Air. It is written by Richard Swanson, Augustana professor, and performed by Augustana University in Sioux Falls. That's September 21st through the 23rd. And again, the 28th through the 30th, we are joined by Dr. Swanson and Jaina Fitzsimmons, who is a theater professor and director of Augie's production. Thank you both so much for being here.
Thank you so much.